Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, November the 9th, 2005. I'm Jay Pierce. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In agricultural news, a meeting of trade ministers in the Doha round of WTO talks closes with little progress, and an Iowa senator sounds off on a delay in his amendment to cap farm program payments, Tom Rogers. We'll have details of those stories shortly. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated from Kansas City. The price of diesel fuel has put a pinch on farmers, but by how much? Todd Gleason will be by with some answers from the University of Illinois. It all happens on the Wednesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Well, look at some of the numbers on the close. December wheat up 2 at 315, March up 2 at 331 and a quarter. December wheat closed unchanged at 195 and a quarter. March down a half at 209 and a half. May corn closed down a quarter at 217 and three quarters. December down 1 1/4 at 243 and one quarter. November soybeans up 4, 578 and a quarter. January beans up 3 at 588 and a half. March closed up 2 1/4 at 596. November 06 soybeans closed down 3/4 at 611. Meal for December up 40 at 174.30, and December oil at 22.96, up 15 on the close. November feeder cattle closed down 40 at 115.30. The December live cattle 91.95, up 22.5. December lean hogs 64.17.5, up 95 on the close. And the February pork bellies 92.70, up 157.5. And joining us now on the telephone to take a look at the futures market, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Jay. Nice to talk to you.
Good talking to you, too. What did you see in the market today as a factor? Are people waiting to hear the report tomorrow morning, or what?
You know, definitely the phone calls picked up today as conversation about the production estimate that's come in on this November report. You know, it's no secret that the corn and the soybean crop was, vastly improved from what sometimes summertime guesses were. And, you know, we more or less like to get on the bandwagon and say that, our early surveys indicated a better crop than the August report, and it's panned out. You know, I question whether the corn crop is going to be any larger than the private estimates, and I also question whether the soybean crop is going to be any larger than the private estimates. When it's all said and done, it'll be a bigger one. The market, I think, is going to be focusing a lot on the demand, how they handle China's aggressive corn export program, as well as the reluctance on China to buy a lot of beans in the world. Will be factored in this marketplace, and also it'll give the market some direction in the wheat, world wheat as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're expecting the report on the corn to be about what the private analysts. It's what about soybeans?
Well, I think the soybean report will also be fairly large. Mm-hmm. The one problem with the soybean market is the Chinese demand. One of the things that I thought today's action was just tremendous. There was a lot of bearish news in the marketplace. It opened lower and closed higher, and then right before the close was down and then rallied. Mm-hmm. So that it was very good market action. The other thing in the soybean oil complex, whether anyone's ever able to draw the correlation or not, the crude oil prices were lower, soybean oil was lower, crude oil prices rallied, soybean oil prices rallied as well. Europe is basically on a buying rampage of buying all the canola oil out of Canada that they can get a hold of, and we're seeing good demand from other oil seeds related products as well. It's no mystery that it's a profitable item, and it's going to be a tremendous growth industry of soy diesel. in the world, and canola diesel and veggie diesel around the world. And we're starting to see, you know, I think a kind of an acceleration of that expansion in the marketplace. So it is going to be not business as usual for the food industry. It's going to be we're going to be a follower as far as whatever energy takes the food industry is going to have to bid up. And, of course, we haven't seen that correlation for a lot of years.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the report comes out about 7:30. What are you expecting then to see when everything starts opening up?
Well, you know, my general impression is that it's going to be USDA report that has been factored in into the marketplace to a great extent.
Okay.
My general impression is that we will start to see flat price corn improve. The basis is going to be the big factor of that. In the areas that have been a little slow as far as harvesting is concerned, you know, good yields, slow transportation, those areas are getting done. We're seeing some of the good producing areas on the east side of Edgar County there getting wrapped up, and that's been the slower part of the county because the yields have been so good. You know, so we're starting to see harvest 2005 basically wrapped up, and the same way in the soybeans, particularly in the south. So it's a manageable crop. The other factor that we're seeing in the marketplace, Jay, is the dryness in the wheat country. The dryness in the upper Midwest is basically giving some people the feeling that it's a long time from planting, time next year. But we are starting to see some dryness creep into the weather forecast, and also in that big country in Argentina as well.
Yeah. What about in the livestock? We saw the feeder cattle closing down today, but the live cattle, lean hogs, pork bellies all were up.
You know, the hogs put in quite a technical short covering rally yesterday, and the follow through was very evident today. The moving averages are bullish and hogs. The out movement in the pork bellies was also anticipated tomorrow to be positive. The cattle market is struggling a little bit here at this price level. There's a tug of war between what the packer's willing to pay for dressed or for cattle to buy, and there's a reluctance there. But as a general rule, it's a sound market clear across the trading floor, and these lower energy prices, I think, are also encouraging demand at the meat counter.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that we should touch on?
I think the big factor that we're picking up here is that there is possibly a little more anhydrous book this summer at the $400 mark than we previously thought. And as a result of that, in the big corn-producing counties in Illinois, I think that the corn acreage is still going to be pretty high next year. But it's in the other areas where we will see smaller corn acreage and larger bean acreage, and we're going to see a big wheat increase in acreage, too.
All right. Well, let's go back to the Board of Trade once again, just to kind of wrap up here. Tomorrow on the open, what are we expecting to see?
Well, it's going to hinge on the USDA report, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say the major, we're not going to see a major break, I don't think, in either corn or soybeans at this time. I think the extreme weakness is over with, and we're going to see some stability get into the marketplace.
All right, Paul, thank you ever so much.
Have a nice day, and what a gorgeous day it is in central Illinois.
It is. It's been a beautiful day, a little nip in the air. It's a little more fall-like, but it has been another great day.
Have a good one.
Thanks, you too. It's Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And, of course, Paul joins us on the Closing Market Report every Wednesday afternoon and every Wednesday morning on the Opening Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Well, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the agricultural weather. Meanwhile, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser forecast for Illinois and Indiana tonight. A wind advisory in effect for northern Illinois and for far northern Indiana. That's for northern Illinois today and then far northern Indiana this afternoon and tonight. On the wind advisory, otherwise, the remainder of today, windy, colder with a mix of clouds and sunshine. And a few scattered showers and thunderstorms possible in eastern Indiana early in the afternoon, with highs ranging from 49 in far northwest Illinois to 75 in the far south. And then tonight, we'll see overnight lows ranging from 25 in far northwestern Illinois to near 40 in the far south. Tomorrow, we should see a mix of clouds and sunshine in northern Indiana, mostly sunny elsewhere across the two states, with highs ranging from 48 in northeastern Indiana to near 60 in southwestern Illinois. And right now, in Urbana, 55 degrees.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
In agricultural news, U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman and U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns have been in Geneva this week in another effort to save the Doha round of World Trade Organization talks. Now, though, the meeting of top trade ministers has come to a close, and while Portman says constructive discussions over the last few days have been helpful, he's not thrilled with the progress made.
I am sorry to report that we've not made the progress that we had hoped to make in order to put together a program for the Hong Kong meeting that would enable us to set forth a framework in order for us to complete the negotiation more rapidly. So we've made some progress. We have been able to bridge some differences and at least narrow the discussion, but we have not been able to come up with the formulas or modalities to be able to negotiate into 2006.
But Portman says the U.S. still isn't giving up hope. He's not alone in his optimism for Hong Kong. Secretary Johanns continues to believe progress can be made at the December ministerial. But some suggest the U.S. may be too realistic, and there are key WTO member officials who say that divisions may be too great to overcome.
I don't know. You know, this notion that the U.S. needs to be more realistic, what that really is saying is that we need to lower the ambition for this round. We need to lower what our expectations are in terms of the economic impact of this round. It means that not only in agriculture, but in these other areas, we need to have much lower expectations. That will not meet the promise of Doha. It will not result in the kind of economic development we all hope for. The World Bank has a study out showing that without a 75% reduction, remember the EU average is 39%, without a 75% reduction in the highest tariffs, there can be no real new market access. The U.S. proposal meets that standard. The EU proposal does not.
Meanwhile, European Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson said it's not possible to go for full modalities of a detailed outline at Hong Kong, but he says it doesn't mean they can't achieve anything. This week's meeting sought to establish just what could be achieved in Hong Kong, which has long been seen as a vital staging post along the route to a free trade treaty by the end of this year or next year. After 4 years of talks, the gap between rich and poor nations, chiefly over agriculture, remains wide. Failure to achieve anything in Hong Kong could trigger a total collapse of the WTO round, which was launched as a way to boost global economies and help fight poverty. Just last week, Iowa GOP Senator Chuck Grassley introduced an amendment to the budget reconciliation bill that would impose a $250,000 hard cap on farm program payments. But to his disappointment, Senate Ag Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss of Georgia raised a budget point of order against Grassley's amendment and ultimately kept the Senate from a vote on the actual payment limit language. As it turns out, the Congressional Budget Office had trouble tracking the gains from generic certificates and separate entities, and therefore couldn't score Grassley's amendment. Observers say it's because USDA has no real system in place to track the payments. That's something mandated by the 2002 Farm Bill, and Grassley says he has a real problem with the lack of a system.
There's no excuse that this mandated provision hasn't been enforced, so I'm sending a letter to the department asking Secretary Johanns to enforce Section 1614 of the Farm Bill. I hope to get this issue resolved quickly so that we know exactly who's benefiting from farm payments.
But Grassley explains there were a number of other factors working against him, including a lack of publicity, opposition from GOP leaders, and the argument to delay the amendment until after the next farm bill is written. A state grant will help a nonprofit community group help about 200 farm families in the parts of Illinois hit hardest by this summer's drought. The $250,000 grant from Governor Rob Blagojevich's Opportunity Returns Program will go to the Farm Resource Center. The group will offer affected farm families job training, business development, and referral services for getting into or re-entering the workforce. The money is aimed at families seeking second jobs to counter losses made worse by dry weather and the rise in fuel and input prices. The grant will beef up Farm Resource Center's ability to help farmers in northern, west central, and southern Illinois. Bird flu may reduce energy demand. Should it evolve into a form that's easily transmitted among humans but not expected to have much impact on agricultural products? That's according to a report issued by Goldman Sachs. The U.S. Investment Bank said should the flu mutate into a form that's easily spread by human contact, or worse, if they were to become airborne, the impact on energy demand would likely be severe. Goldman Sachs noted that the spread of SARS back in 2003 led to a sharp reduction in civilian airline schedules in Asia as demand for tourist and business travel declined. The report said the impact on grain consumption from a fall in demand for poultry products would be offset by increased buying of others' meats. And U.S.-based agribusiness giant Cargill is among a handful of firms in talks with the local government in China to take over a bankrupt soybean crusher in the eastern province of Jiangsu. That's according to sources on Wednesday. The private Nantong Baogang Oils Company, set up in 1999, had a daily soybean crushing capacity of 3,000 tons. It applied to a court for bankruptcy in October. Three or four firms had approached the government, not only Cargill, according to a source, but other firms are in contact with local government to see if there's any opportunity. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm Tom Rogers.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580 WILL. It is 2:23 Central Time, and up next, the farm management specialists at the University of Illinois have run the numbers on the high cost of diesel fuel. Todd Gleason files this report on the expected income adjustments down on the farm.
Economists, a farm management specialist, have put pen to paper to quantify the effect high fuel prices will have farmers in the state of Illinois. Dale Latz says despite the fact equipment is larger on the farm today than in the past, it is also more fuel efficient to operate. That's a good thing because the University of Illinois Extension specialist says even with the better fuel ratings, it still takes a lot of fuel to farm an acre of row crop farmland.
But looking at fuel requirements, we are probably looking in the range, depending on tillage methods and those type of things, of 4 to 5 to 6 to 8 gallons of diesel fuel used per year by producers per acre, I should say, per acre.
About 60% of that fuel is used in the fall to harvest, haul, store, and dry the crop, and for fertilizer and tillage passes. When the Ovi Ag Economist checked the figures, it amounted to a 50% increase in fuel costs.
If we talk about, 4 or 5 gallons of diesel per year, and you're talking about a 50% increase of cost per diesel per gallon, we may be looking at a $4 to $5 per acre increase in diesel fuel, increase in fuel costs related to just diesel fuel increases. So it's a lot. When you look at that particular cost, when you look at fuel costs as far as the whole cost of farming, it's a relatively small proportion. When you look at just cash operating expenses, when the crop costs, machine repairs, fuel, insurance, and those type of things, not including, say, a cash rent figure if farmers are paying cash rent as a cash cost, but we're probably talking 5-6% of the total cash costs of putting in an acre of corn or beans being tied to fuel costs.
It's not a large input cost, but when you start multiplying the per acre charge by total number of acres farmed, the financial demands of fuel add up quickly. An extra $5 an acre on a 1,000-acre farm, that's just a little bigger than an average Illinois farm, is $5,000. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
And now joining us on the telephone for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Jay.
Well, how have things been on the cash grain market in your area today?
Well, basically, the market's just getting ready for the report in the morning. Harvest is just about over here. We finally got through. We were kind of the laggards over here, but we're down to the last 5% of the corn, and I'd say most of the beans are out. So right now, farmers are just, they're more interested right now in getting all their final paperwork straightened out. Not a lot of merchandising being done, but basis levels are continuing to improve as we speak.
Mm-hmm. So the processor demand in the area also a little on the slow side then right now?
Well, processor demand, I'm not sure about. We should ship everything into the southeast.
I got you.
And the corn values are probably 7 or 8 cents better than they were last week when we talked. Beans about 4 to 5. The processor bids in beans just have not been responded like they have in corn, and just isn't responding quite as well as the corn basis has. But other than that, it's just pretty quiet around here, and everybody's waiting for the report tomorrow.
Yeah, 7:30 in the morning. We'll get that out. And then what do you think's going to happen tomorrow once that comes? What do you think the reaction will be?
I think that probably the farmer is hoping for a post-harvest rally in the corn, maybe a dime. I think if we get some rallies in this market, and hopefully after the report tomorrow, unless it's real, real bearish, we'll see a little rally, and they'll start forward contracting some of what they got in their bin, and I hope we get to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you looking at right now? What kind of prices are farmers looking for in your area?
They would like $2 January corn is what they would like. Beans, I'm sure they'd like $6, but we're $1.92 for January. If we get back to $2, I honestly believe, pardon me, that you will see a lot of forward contracting being done.
Mm-hmm. And you think that depending upon the report tomorrow, there may be a likelihood of reaching those prices?
Well, I hope. We've just been making contract lows in corn practically every day, and it's time for a little rally. But still in all, after this report in January, we could see it go back down again. But I'm hopeful that they won't force this market much lower, especially in corn.
And what are the prices over there today?
Our cash corn is 167, cash beans are 545, and new crop wheat is 323 today.
Kay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, have a good day. And that is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In just a couple of minutes, I'll be talking with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about the agricultural weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580, also online at will.uiuc.edu. It's coming up on, well, about 30 seconds till 2:30, and Jim Meadows joins us with our report of AM 580 News.
Thank you, Jay. State Senator Rick Winkle is among those being considered as a successor to U.S. Attorney for Central Illinois Jan Paul Miller, who announced his resignation yesterday. At least three Illinois congressmen, including Urbana Republican Tim Johnson, are endorsing Winkle for the position. House Speaker Dennis Hastert will consult with Illinois' congressional delegation before making a recommendation for a new U.S. attorney to President Bush. Some residents are being allowed to return to the Eastbrook Mobile Home Park in Evansville, Indiana today to see what's left of their homes after the park was hit by a deadly tornado early Sunday morning. One man found a quilt made by his sister four lots from the remains of her home. Radio and TV stations in Evansville will hold a telethon tonight to raise money for tornado victims. Illinois State Fair officials are looking for input from fairgoers as they work to plan next year's fair. State Fair Manager Amy Bleefnick says anyone with a suggestion or question about the 2006 State Fair can send an email to statefair@agr.state.il.us. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan's corruption trial is in its seventh week, and attorneys for both sides say the going is much slower than anyone thought it would be. Lead prosecutor Patrick Collins warned Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer this morning that the way things are going, the trial will last well beyond the 4 months originally estimated for the proceedings. He says jurors should be notified. The Vermilion County Board's Finance Committee meets Saturday morning in Danville to start hammering out a new budget. The Vermilion County Board last night rejected a budget that included a property tax levy increase of up to 27%. Finance Committee Chairman Bruce Stark says they'll have to cut county services and personnel to come up with a lower tax increase. Chicago-based Boeing is trying to break the record for the longest nonstop flight by a commercial jet. The flight took off from Hong Kong today on a trip that involves flying over the Pacific Ocean and North America before landing in London. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Jay Pierce. You're listening to the Closing Market Report at 2:32 Central Time here on AM 580. And now it's time to take a look at the agricultural weather. And joining us is Drew Lerner, the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Well, it's beautiful weather here. Just a little chill in the air as that front moved through today. But, you know, it really didn't drop more than 5 degrees, I don't think, throughout the course of the day from early this morning. It's beautiful, but it's probably not going to last forever.
Well, I'm afraid you're probably right. In fact, we've probably enjoyed an awful lot of favorable weather that we're going to have to pay the piper at some point down the road. But certainly, near-term forecast is still not that bad. We've got low humidity out there and winds that are blowing cool air into our direction, and this combination will likely set us up for a pretty chilly night tonight. But we don't have to worry much about precipitation for a while. In fact, I'm not even expecting a great deal of coolness to last for very long, at least not in this 4 or 5 day period coming up. A little bit stronger cold front cutting across the Midwest next week will likely bring some rain with it, and we'll find temperatures